in seasonable temperatures and humidity levels through the end of the week. A weak mid-level disturbance streaking east from the plains could bring scattered thunderstorms to Missouri and Illinois tonight and tomorrow. High temperatures today will range from the low 80s across Iowa to the low 90s across southern Missouri and western Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will range from the low 60s in southern Wisconsin to the low 70s in southern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 87 and a light northeast wind. Tonight, mostly cloudy. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight, the low 67. The wind will be light and from the east. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high of 84 and a light east wind. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 67. The wind, light and from the north. Saturday, partly sunny and warmer with a high in the upper 80s. The wind light and out of the north. Saturday night and Sunday, partly cloudy. The low Saturday night will be in the low 70s, the high Sunday in the mid 80s. Sunday night through Monday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid 60s and the high Monday in the low 80s. Temperatures across Illinois and Indiana at noon Central Time were in the low 70s to the upper 80s. Locations with temperatures in the 70s reported cloudy skies. Rockford checked in with 81 degrees. It was 80 at O'Hare, 84 at Bloomington and Mattoon, 88 at Carbondale. At South Bend, where it was cloudy, 73 degrees. Lafayette, 82. Indianapolis, 86. And Terre Haute, 83. Willard Airport reported 83 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 62. The heat index, 84. That's pretty nice. Relative humidity, 49%. The wind variable at 5 miles per hour. And the barometric pressure, 30.01 and rising. And at 12:39, 86 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. For the first time in its history, all of the leaders of the University of Illinois' three individual campuses will be women. A search committee has picked University of Washington Provost and Vice President Phyllis Wise to head the Urbana-Champaign campus starting in October if the Board of Trustees gives its likely approval. U of I President Michael Hogan says Wise is a great choice for her administrative and research background.
She's a very likable person. Let me start there. Very articulate, and I could just tell right away we would get along, and that's you know, essential, I think, for both of us to be able to be good partners with each other and work well together. But she's also, I mean, she brings just everything that you would be looking for in a academic leader, a chancellor on the Urbana campus. She's a very distinguished researcher in her own right, a biologist, and she's had well over 200 articles published. She's had external research support for the research she does, I think, for 32 straight years, continuous years of funding for her research program. She's a member of the National Academies of Science, Institute of Medicine, if I remember right, a fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. So she has been we're not hiring her as a researcher and a teacher, but if you're going to lead a major campus like our Urbana campus, having research and teaching credentials like she has gives her really a high degree of credibility with one of her most important constituencies, and that's the faculty, including the deans. But on top of all of that, she has been a very successful administrator. I mean, a dean, executive vice president and provost, and an interim president. And she's had all of this experience at major public universities, including the University of Washington in Seattle, which looks very, very much like them. It's very, very similar to our Urbana campus here. So she got a proven record as a teacher and scholar and a very proven and very successful record as an administrator, and I think we're lucky to have her.
Phyllis Wise spoke yesterday from Seattle with Illinois Public Media's Tom Rogers. She says her role as a researcher will inform her administrative decisions.
I really believe that research and education should be so intertwined with each other that you don't know when one is you know, ending and the other is beginning. And the research aspect, the research strengths at the University of Illinois were very attractive to me as well. So all in all, didn't take too much to convince me that this would be a lovely place to consider.
But how do you balance the role of a researcher with the role of an administrator, and especially the time demand for each?
I think at the chancellor level, it's much harder to be deeply involved in research. But I think it's critical that the chancellor stay current with the latest trends and the latest directions of the major research areas that are covered at the university, because you can't help to advocate for it if you aren't familiar with what's going on. At the next level, you know, at the dean level and at the chair level, I have always believed that role modeling what you want out of your faculty is one key way of demonstrating its importance. And so I certainly kept up my research in a very big way when I became the chair of physiology at Kentucky and then the dean of the College of Biological Sciences at Davis. And I continue to have an NIH grant here. I just think that the interface between learning and discovery should be so permeable that you can't tell when you're learning and when you're discovering.
You mentioned some of the benefits of this campus and the strength of the Urbana campus. What do you see are some of the challenges, some of the things that you would want to address upon coming here?
Right. Well, I think all universities, not just all public universities, have to learn all the time of how to be more efficient with the resources that you have, how to create new sources of revenue, how to attract the very, very best faculty, and to be able to retain them also is critically important, because I think the university is only as good as its faculty is, because that's the way students want to come and that's the way staff want to work there.
You are in a public education system where
right.
government funding is only going to become a bigger issue.
Right.
You're moving to Illinois, where obviously the issues are no less pressing. How do you deal with that as the leader of a public institution that's going to have to state its case more strongly for funding down the road?
Right. So I did a lot of work with our state legislature this year and with our governor, and I think that I will go to listen and learn about what the issues are that are distinctive in Illinois, and then also be a really strong advocate for the importance of higher education in the state economy. I mean, we are a source of revenue, a source of richness. I think the whole quality of life in Illinois is better if higher education is excellent. An educated workforce is probably the best citizenry that you'll ever have.
What will be the first or one of the first things that you would do once you take office here?
Well, I'm going to go on a very intense listening and learning tour to try and learn as much as I possibly can about the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and then also the University of Illinois as a whole. I will work to partner with President Hogan effectively so that we can work together to make the whole university better. And I think we will do as much as we possibly can to continue to improve the university that is already such a great place.
Faculty input on some recent decisions has become a bit of a controversial topic on the U of I campus in information technology and other decisions that have been made. How do you work to bring faculty involvement into the mix?
Yeah. Well, I am a firm believer in shared governance. I believe that faculty input into decisions is important. It affects them, and so I think it's really important to hear them. I, as the interim president and also as the provost, worked very closely with the Faculty Senate here, and one of my real moments of pride was when the Faculty Senate gave me a standing ovation at the end of my tenure as the interim president. So I think that I fully respect the need to hear the faculty out, and I think that they will understand that their voices will be heard in any decisions that we make. That doesn't mean that you always please, you know, specific faculty, but we certainly want to make sure that they are heard and that we explain why we made the decision that we made.
New Chancellor-designate Phyllis Wise. She spoke with Illinois Public Media's Tom Rogers. She will receive a $500,000 annual salary with another $100,000 set aside each of the next 5 years. She'll receive that money if she remains at the U of I's Urbana campus that long. Wise will have a say in the search for a new athletic director at UIUC. President Hogan says a new AD may be named in about a month. Economists expect tomorrow's monthly jobs report to show that 85,000 jobs were created last month. That's the consensus. You've heard these predictions before, and since they seem to be wrong as often as they are right, why pay attention? NPR's Tamara Keith takes on the consensus.
They're a staple for investors and financial reporters. Economists' expectations.
Inflation in the Eurozone rose in March, confounding economists.
The consensus expectation is for jobs growth of 100.
New home construction slipped a surprise 1% last month. That missed economists' expectations for.
It can all seem a little mysterious. Who are these economists, and how do they reach a consensus? Randy Moore is the man behind Blue Chip Economic Indicators, one of several consensus surveys. He asks about 50 economists every month for their best estimates of how various indicators will turn out. Then
we calculate a simple arithmetic average or consensus forecast for all of these indicators of economic activity.
It's just that simple, though often the consensus is a little off. After all, these are economists, not fortune tellers.
When the consensus misses on something, I have to admit I feel a pang of pain. You know, this year's been pretty tough.
University of Maryland professor and economist Peter Morisi is part of the consensus. He uses models and estimates to come up with his numbers. Morisi says for investors and business owners, checking economists' expectations is a bit like checking the weather before you go to the beach.
If you have a choice as to whether you're going to the beach, why should you spend your money if it's going to rain? Likewise, why should you hire more workers if economists believe that car sales will be down over the next quarter? It does make a difference as to what the expectations are.
But some might argue weather forecasters have a better record than economic forecasters. Jeff Rosen is at Briefing.com. He was so fascinated by the hits and misses of the consensus that he created the Briefing Research Economic Surprise Index.
Not only does it turn out that economists are often surprised, but, you know, lately it's turned out that the economists have been much more bullish about the economy compared to what